Hi everyone, my name is Claire Atkinson and I am a graduate student at UC Davis in the Department of Plant Sciences working with Dr. Elizabeth Mitchum, and my project focuses on the impacts of relative humidity and temperature on walnut storage over time. So while California almonds get a lot of attention, we are also the sole producer of walnuts in the United States. We're ranked number 6 in the California export list in 2017 with $1.59 billion in export value. Walnuts have an ideal ratio of linolenic to alpha-linoleic acid, and this makes them a very attractive health choice. But while these oils are so healthy, they also make them prone to oxidation in storage, leading to rancidity and also a darkening in kernel color, which is inversely related to price, as lighter colored walnuts get a premium. So as the longer walnuts are in storage, the worse the quality, and the short shelf life of walnuts is limiting to the industry as they cannot include them in blended products. And this is why your trail mixes and granola bars often include nuts other than walnuts. So that limits the market potential of the industry. They're often stored in these large silos here and just often cut up into pieces, and this also increases the oxidation. So we surveyed the industry in 2015 and found that a lot of walnut conditions for storage are ambient in these large silos, which is sensitive to fluctuations in temperature and relative humidity, so leading to more rancidity development. Rancidity development can proceed by two different reactions, a hydrolytic mechanism and also an oxidative mechanism. The hydrolytic mechanism proceeds related to the moisture content, and oxidative must have initiation in some form. So both of these processes are heightened at greater temperatures. Therefore, the objectives of our study are to understand how temperature and relative humidity impact storage over time and impact the quality. And we've also been examining potential means of increasing shelf life, such as steam pasteurization and storage with oxygen-absorbing packets. So we store walnuts at two temperatures, 5 degrees Celsius and 25 degrees Celsius, to represent ambient conditions. We are within that, we're storing at 40% and 60% relative humidity. And then we do a quality assessment every 3 months. So looking at the kernel color, using a Minolta chromometer, mold development, moisture, and then also rancidity. And for rancidity development, we look at the oil quality and also the hexanal values. We've also done a sensory analysis to understand how these impact the sensory quality measured by consumers. Using the oil analysis, this is the method that the walnut industry currently utilizes. It's not the most time efficient or accurate in many ways. Free fatty acids is a measurement of the hydrolytic rancidity, and peroxide value is a measurement of the oxidative rancidity. And like I said, this is highly dependent on who is individually doing the titrations. And also, peroxides can be produced and then consumed throughout the oxidation process. So a high number or a low number of peroxides doesn't necessarily correspond to the amount of oxidation that's taken place. So due to this, we are seeking out other methods of determining rancidity. So we have been measuring the hexanal quantity. Hexanal is a volatile aldehyde that is related to flavors such as like grassy, paint-like, plant-like, and it's often associated with rancidity. In our lab, we've used solid phase microextraction, but as this is an expensive way to detect volatiles, we are planning a collaboration with the Aerospace and Mechanical Engineering Department at UC Davis to create a sensor for rapid detection of hexanal in storage so that the industry can have a way to measure hexanal formation in their own product. And so we are trying to correlate these values to sensory attributes to understand how these quality parameters are related to the actual sensory. So we've previously done a descriptive panel where we looked at a variety of attributes related to taste, aroma, and texture. And from this, we received a lot of data, so I'm just going to talk about a little bit of it. So looking at this principal component analysis, analyzing our 6-month storage samples, we saw some grouping based on temperature. So in this study, we actually had a 15-degree temperature as well. So a closer look at this analysis shows that the vectors at the higher temperatures from the descriptive sensory were closely related to the peroxide value, free fatty acids, and hexanol content that we were able to measure in lab. And so the 6-month storage, at the 6-month storage mark, the trained panel was not able to detect rancidity, but there were other aroma compounds that were related to rancidity development that they were able to pick up on. And then we repeated it at 12 months of storage, and here you see a greater distinction between the groups. And this one in the blue on the right, had a better texture and a sweeter taste. And then the green were samples that were in between at the 15 degrees Celsius storage period. And then the red storage was at 25 degrees Celsius, and here we saw before an increase in free fatty acids, peroxide value, hexanol, and then at this mark, the rancidity was a significant attribute of storage. So this year we have been doing a consumer sensory panel to see what to get a general feel for how consumers feel about these samples, but we have had some trouble in consumers distinguishing between good and bad walnuts. We believe that some of this might be related to the quality of walnuts that consumers are used to eating, and the ones that they're already getting at store or the ones that they have at their house have already undergone some oxidation. So no matter what time point or treatment we used, a lot of the consumers ranked them as neither like nor dislike. So we think that we do mix the samples as a composite sample, but we also, if you have one bad nut, that can alter the rest of your sampling. So we're talking about going back to a descriptive panel in the future, just because consumers can't necessarily pick up on the rancidity that we're getting in lab. So in those same samples that were neither liked nor disliked, the ones at a higher temperature of storage had a greater quantity of hexanol, and the hexanol formation was inhibited at 5 degrees Celsius. Relative humidity of storage was not significant for hexanol formation, and we did see an increase at the higher temperatures of hexanol formation over time. Peroxide values follows a similar trend in that the values were inhibited at 5 degrees Celsius but were increased at 25 degrees Celsius, and relative humidity also did not have an impact on peroxide formation over time. And at some of these points, like at the higher temperatures, you can see that after 9 months of storage, we've seen some decreases, and that can be related to the process of peroxide formation and then consumption. So this is one of the measurements that the industry uses, and so we're trying to establish a threshold value and also to correlate these with sensory parameters to better understand what these values actually mean, because it's what's being measured in the industry. And free fatty acids show a different story. They are also inhibited at lower temperatures, but at the relative humidity at higher temperatures was significant between the groups. And so because this free fatty acids is a measurement of the hydrolytic rancidity, an increased relative humidity and thus moisture content would impact the free fatty acid development. So moving forward, we're looking at pasteurization and storage with these low oxygen absorbing packets. So more processors for walnuts are installing these pasteurization systems, and the industry wants to understand how pasteurization impacts quality. There's been some preliminary talk of maybe the high heat and steam being able to inhibit the enzymes that are responsible for oxidation. And we've also been looking at rudimentary in-lab treatments mimicking this process, but currently we're looking at storing actually pasteurized walnuts collected from facilities across California. And the low oxygen packets are a potential low cost solution that can be utilized right away. More of the processors, as we've been presenting these results to them, are talking about installing refrigeration systems, which is exciting due to the difference in maintaining the cold chain throughout storage. But we're still investigating these potential solutions. So looking at the hexanol formation in this very rudimentary, I just heated up a tray of water in an oven and used the steam from that, so extremely rudimentary. But we did see a difference in the formation of hexanol over time, but at the individual immediately following treatment, it wasn't altered, and then also after 6 months of storage, it wasn't necessarily altered. So maybe going forward, we can see how the industry-treated stuff varies. And the low oxygen-absorbing packets were able to significantly decrease hexanol formation, even up to 12 months of storage, and these values were similar to walnuts immediately at harvest. So going forward, we're looking, like I said, of continuing to educate the industry on the importance of cold formation, of maintaining cold storage, and working closely with the industry to collect commercially pasteurized product in order to understand the role of pasteurization. We're continuing looking at the oxygen-absorbing packets as a low-cost solution for inhibiting oxygen and thus inhibiting oxidation, both at an industry level and at a consumer level. And in addition, we're adding the descriptive panel back to understand those exact differences so that we don't get neither like nor dislike. And then continuing to work with the mechanical engineering department to establish a sensor for rapid hexanol determination so that the industry can have something that they use in facility to better understand which products will oxidize faster and so that they can better manage their product and decrease the amount of loss. So do we have time for questions? Right. So the question was if we screened the consumer sensory panelists before they completed the survey. And we did ask people. We just set up a table in our building and then get people who are passing by. And so we do ask them if they like walnuts. So sometimes people come up and they say, oh, I hate walnuts. And I was like, well, this is probably not a good thing for you to do in that case. And so we try and get people who generally eat walnuts, but I do think that that is an issue and that people don't know what to look for. And people are definitely sensitive to it on various levels. So I think that also makes a difference. And I always say, I moved to California from Texas and I thought I hated walnuts. And I think I just never really had a good one because we got the fresh harvest in and I thought like, oh, these are extremely different than what I'm used to eating. So I think it also depends on what people are used to eating. And also, just a side note, to store your nuts in the freezer at home to limit oxidation in your pantry.
We have one more quick question. Yeah, which were your free fatty acids?
It's percentage of, oh, sorry. The question was what free fatty acids do we measure, and it's the percentage of oleic acid.
Okay.